Welcome to the Business Abundance Podcast, providing the tools and knowledge to help small business owners succeed. For additional resources, visit www.businessabundance.online.
Hello and welcome to the Business Abundance Podcast. I'm here with Rowan and Ian. He's back to talk about data-driven decision-making.
Oh, it's my favourite.
What's your favourite thing about it, Ian?
Data. Oh, I just love how people get hung up on it. I love data, but some people focus on the wrong data.
What would you consider to be the wrong data?
Any data that doesn't move forward in your business.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great book called, I think it's The Tiger That Isn't, and it's talking about how statistics and data can be used to prove anything maliciously. And in my experience, especially in the early day, in the early days of computers, a lot of advertising companies used data to confuse and befuddle potential clients
mm-hmm.
into signing up for less than excellent advertising campaigns.
Yeah.
But now people are a lot more educated and data is a valuable, valuable tool and it's everywhere.
I think data is quite important to decision making because we often make decisions based on how we feel or the last thing we saw or the thing that annoys us or we like the most. But sometimes when you go back and you look at a vast quantity of accurate data collected in a suitable way, it tells you something different.
Mm-hmm.
Or it confirms it. So I guess the numbers don't lie.
Unless you manipulate them, like Ian was just saying.
Which can be done, but generally,
well, the numbers aren't lying there. Someone else did the numbers.
Very, very much so. And for someone like me who's more in the creative realm than in the data-driven realm, data is reluctantly valuable, if that makes sense.
Mm.
I would work on gut and psychology of sales and in the moment. And then many, many, many times in my career, I look back and go, well, that was wrong in regards to data-driven process. If I had the data and I understood the data at the time, or even if I was collecting data, which as part of marketing and A-B split testing is what you do as in an advertising campaign anyway, that is data. I just choose not to call it that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, I like it just because it removes the personal bias or gut feelings that you use.
Yep.
I've worked with a number of people that don't have budgets but don't know where their money's going and then they don't really know what to do with it. Yep. So there's that sort of data, or if we're looking at their website and they think a lot of people are viewing it, but they're only getting a tiny, tiny amount of traffic. There's also that, because they'll say, oh, well, I'm getting heaps of phone calls, so my website must be really successful. But then you actually look at a tool like Google Analytics and you see there's only 3 people a day visiting, which might be good.
Might be a very highly converting website.
Mm, exactly. But yeah, it just gets rid of that gut feeling.
Yeah.
Netflix actually did that. When they House of Cards?
I've heard of it, yes.
Yes. So they didn't even release a pilot program. They just used all the data from Netflix and saw that people liked David Fincher produced movies, and they also recognised Kevin Spacey was moving towards the political dramas, and they liked, the audience liked these. So they released House of Cards with $100 million investment without a pilot program, and that was a massive, massive success.
That's data working for you, isn't it, really?
Yes. Yeah, it actually attracted millions of new subscribers for them, so that was exciting for them.
It's a good example.
Would you say they've based a lot of their newer show acquisitions on that method?
They're obviously the very low quality things that come out, but they are very successful to their target audiences.
Just looking at that a slightly different way, it's interesting because the pilot program's just data gathering anyway. So before they'll be going, oh, we think an audience likes this.
Mm.
This would be nice. I've got this great idea. And then now let's go see if people actually like this idea. Let's get the data. And then if we can get the data that says, yes, this is great, we'll get the funding for it. But in this case, Netflix through its system had the data accessible for someone to look at and go, boom, these things are all good. Let's put those together.
Hmm.
And that's enough data to make the people who are going to make the investment happy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing. It's just a different process, really.
It's a good experiment for a business that can gamble, technically gamble $100 million and trust your processes, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, gamble's probably not the term. It's an educated guess.
Well, it's an educated investment.
Yeah. Which is a business. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's not just throw it all on. You've got a 25% chance of success. Let's throw it all on black.
But it's 50%. Also, you look at data gathering 20 years ago, you'd have to have a focus group. You'd have to sit down and have preview screenings. You'd have to have a studio audience in that situation. You end up spending the same amount of money anyway, if not more, and a bit more of a gamble because one producer over here has got, or a writer's got an idea that they think the whole world's going to resonate with, and it turns out the whole world actually thinks you're a moron, whereas here's a ream of actual observable, not anecdotal, observable data that says this is a good idea. And that's kind of the few modeling days and process-driven marketing days that I've worked with you guys with, and you sit down and it just makes sense without turning this into an ad. It's just like you sit down and it's not my realm of sitting there and going, well, if you do this, this and this, this will be the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And 99 times out of 100, if they apply what you've suggested, what you said's going to happen happens.
Yeah. Well, looking at it from a small business point of view, data-driven decisions. So you're not Netflix. You don't necessarily have all that information available. There's a lot of information. You've got census data and you've got other things that you can do, and you can measure your current business and see what's happening. But we find that people have a lot more success when they look into something and they can see that stuff's already happening and they fit in with that. Like, you pretty much guaranteed to get work in that case. You don't actually have to be that good because there's such demand or you're in the right place, whereas you can have a great idea, and if you don't have the numbers behind it, it's just very hard to get up and running. And that's one way to look at it. So if you're starting out, we had someone the other week do a modeling day, which you just mentioned. So just strategy of how they're going to run their business, what's the business plan, what's the business model, how it's going to work, how it's going to stack up. And they've been working in another business, and fundamentally they're going to do the same thing. It was a successful business and price it a certain way, which pretty much how everyone prices their work. And the first thing we did is just sort of put their numbers together as what their expenses are going to be and their wages and whatnot. And that's pretty easy to forecast, right? Did all that. And then we looked at, well, how many hours can they work per year? And then it pumped out a number of how much are they going to make based on how they're pricing. Because we had all that information to do the projections, and they were going to lose $100,000 a year. Copying an existing business was successful. So obviously that wasn't going to work. So we had to then figure out what changed to that, those numbers or the data that would actually make it happen. And then so we did that, and then that we had to change what sort of work they were doing or how they were looking at it, and make a bit of a niche. It's an interesting case there. Well, one, you've got to get the right market and the right data, but then you've also just got to make your model stack up. Just because everyone else is doing it doesn't mean for you it won't. And they were just trying to copy a much larger business. So they had scale to cover expenses. Well, being smaller, it didn't have the scale. So it couldn't make enough money. So yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people don't like the numbers, and algebra sucks and whatever. We're never going to use that. But it's very important. You don't need to look at them every day, but you need to know that what you're doing stacks up.
Well, sometimes the numbers put a mirror in front of you as well.
Yeah.
That's why people don't like the numbers. I can speak from experience. That's why I don't like the numbers. I just want to do that. That feels good. Like that limbic, this is the idea that I've got, and I want to follow my idea. And I've lost count of how many times Rowan's looked at me and said, well, you're an idiot. Why would you do that?
Sorry, I need to be nicer to you.
it's what I need, because you know how I communicate.
Yeah, so with the data, I guess we said before, the right data, because people can measure lots of things, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's important, like Facebook followers and how many likes did my post get, or
how many people followed my TikTok. Oh, no, TikTok is banned in the States. Oh, damn.
It's back.
It's back.
Yeah. How many reviews I've got. All these things. So, like if you have a million reviews and they're all 5-star, you're tracking that and that's your goal, but you only get referrals from a doctor who sends work to you because you're a specialist. The reviews don't matter. Like, you're getting the work from doctors that know you and refer to you, and they're not going to look at your reviews.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to meet them and pass it on. So whereas for a lot of businesses, reviews would be a good thing to look at. Mm. And then Facebook followers having 10,000 might look really good, and that might be a successful Facebook campaign, or, you know, whoever's running it, that might be fantastic. But if there are 10,000 followers that don't matter or from somewhere else or
look at my graph. Look at my graph of the interactions and engagement you've had. That's very, very important, Rowan.
Yeah. So, but for some businesses, that might be exactly what you want.
Mm.
So sometimes it's not measuring everything. It's just measuring a few key things that, mean you're doing well or you're going to do well. And then the second part to it is just making sure that your data gets correct. So it's coming through a system in a clean way, which means it's accurate.
Question then, how would you identify what's the important data to be collecting for a given business?
It's quite simple really for me, but it's probably, if we're talking about everyone's businesses being quite broad, it does make it a bit hard to explain.
Mm.
But it's breaking it down into the fewest numbers that make sense that you can measure.
Yep.
Okay, so if the numbers you can't measure, there's no point because you can't see where you're at against it. So for a retail business, it probably comes down to how many transactions you had, what are the average sale, and what's the margin?
Yep.
That's probably the financial ones. So it's not your necessarily your expenses. It's not necessarily measuring how many people you had through the door. They're probably important as well.
Hmm.
But if you're just looking at an overall what's really going to make sense, we can either get more customers, and that's great, or if that's not good when we get more customers, we need to look at our margin or our average sale. So yep. We need more average sale. So you've got three sort of different areas you could focus on, whereas maybe a trade-based business, it's how many hours do we have available, how many we're billing to clients, and how much money do we make from those hours.
Yep.
Whereas people might look at a million different things around the outside, which might be something you drill into. But if you were just looking at how long does it take for us to see a customer, how long they're waiting, that's probably not an indicator of improving any one of those numbers.
Yep.
But if one of those numbers aren't doing well, it might be because of that particular thing. So I think just try to keep it as simple to understand as possible. When you're looking at trying to make a decision, you can clearly change things and go, that would make a difference, and then you go look in that area.
KISS, keep it simple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it might be you as an owner, you have some bigger ones that you look at, and then an admin person might have some different ones, but you try to keep it pretty simple relation, and then maybe the person who's in charge of sales or quoting, they have, conversion rates, so how many quotes are you sending out and how many are you winning and how much money are you getting from it.
That also leads into simple actions as well. So if you've got simple data, without trying to make it sound too simple, but obviously the simpler it is, the easier it is for someone to understand, then I've got an action that I can take that's going to affect the numbers.
Yep. And it gives you a bit of a chance to empower people too. You say, here's your target for the year. I want you to get 2,000 participants in this program. It doesn't matter how they get them. It matters that they get them.
Mm.
So they know what they need to do. They know what's happened in the past. They have a bit of support and training, of course. But you're not saying, okay, well, I need you to do this and we're going to measure that. And then we're going to do this. We're going to measure that. You're saying, see how you go, and then you might find you might find they fail, you might find that they do it a better way, and other people can implement that in the team next year. So it's sort of you can break it down to different levels, and it's not over measuring, but it's just making sure everyone has something simple and easy to understand.
And it's so much easier now when you can automate a fair bit of that data collection.
So let's talk about key performance indicators with data, but again, it's just setting stuff that you can measure and make sure the data going in. So if it's the people doing the accounts, they're not putting them in twice, or they're not putting them in the wrong account, or they're not entered when you're looking at the data, the point that you're looking at the data is correct and it reconciles, or when you're looking at the sales figures, it's not, got a whole bunch of times where you have put four options in for a customer, so you put them as four quotes for four amounts, so it looks like you've quoted four times the amount of work. Just making sure that you actually got something set up to make sure that data is clean.
Most CRMs can do that.
Yeah.
Most, if you're using it properly.
Yeah, they track it. But
if you're putting it in right.
Or, you're putting it in differently to me. So I put my what I'm going to charge the client, and I'm going to put in my costs so it has a margin. You're just going to put in what you charge the client because that's all they care about.
100%.
So then your margin's always going to look bigger than mine, but effectively it's the same.
Hmm.
So it's just making sure that whatever process people are putting the data in, it's giving you the report, and you check the report that it's actually correct.
Yeah, it's like on Google Analytics when the conversion or the goal is set at a particular, like they're clicking on the About Us page yeah. instead of actually converting to the contact page. That's yeah. a good example of that.
Correct. And then if you don't know too much about the data, you look at the dashboard and go, oh, we had 100 conversions.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spot on.
So CRM for some people who might not use a CRM, customer relationship management software.
Yes. Yeah.
Which pretty much automates what your salesman used to do with their notepad and their diary.
Yeah.
Your contact lists and then all your interactions if you're using it effectively.
Hmm. So we've got two ways we can use, you know, most people can use the data. But yeah, before you do something to, this is what should happen and this is what I can see, and then I'm doing these actions and this is what I expect to get out of it. And does that add up to what I wanted to do? And then on the other end, what happened? What did I get? And if I change that, what would that do? So we can then say, okay, in the case of we need more customers, we look at that and we go, yep, we're going to do a campaign of ads. We expect that to increase our customers by 10%, and that will be a great result.
Mm.
And there are some businesses where increasing the customers by 10% would be a bad result because it doesn't have enough margin.
Service them as well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, or the margin's wrong or whatever it is. So, okay, in that case, we're not going to do an advertising campaign. We need to make more money, but it's not going to be through more sales. We're going to have to reduce our expenses, or we're going to have to sell more profitable products.
I think one of my favorite stories in that regard is I heard you talk about builders and the way that they work their cash flow.
Mm.
And sometimes taking on more work can be actually detrimental to your cash flow.
Yeah.
And the numbers I've seen you, it's hard to explain over audio, but I've seen you model it out visually on a spreadsheet and just changing this number over here on the right, you're bankrupt in 2 years.
Like the days of invoice.
Yeah, and you can do that because you've got the projection, the budget that actually works it out.
Yeah.
And, when we worked this thing out for the person the other week, I think we looked at how they normally price, which is, or how they're going to, but how everyone pretty much prices, which is an hourly rate with, and then marking up materials. And it was a difference with just one person working in the business of $200,000 net profit.
Straight.
Between four different jobs, they priced exactly the same way if they did that job all year, which is probably the biggest variance I've ever seen, but it was four examples of possible jobs they would do.
Yeah.
And that was the variance. And if you don't have the right setup, you don't know how to do it, you don't know what you're doing, and it's not your fault. That's where sometimes you can get a bit of guidance and advice to help you get the right trail set up, the right systems, make sure the reports are correct, and make sure that you're actually looking at the numbers that mean the most.
So imagine if they just followed their gut and hadn't sought advice.
And oh, yeah.
Two years down the track, you're like, why have we lost so much money? What's going on?
Yeah, 100%.
Because you feel like they're busy.
Yeah, so just using the data in that case saved them from reinventing the wheel and going down the wrong path. So no, that was really good. But data, I think, is pretty good. You can be very creative, and like data says one thing and you can sort of skew it around the edges if you want. And that's your bells and whistles and how you market things, I guess. Like you're saying, people use the data to say this and the data to say that.
Yes.
But fundamentally, you need the numbers to make sense. And if you don't have that, then the rest doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't even have any more to add. That pretty much wraps it up.
Beautiful.
Yeah, if you do want a bit of an idea of different tools you can use, I'll list them in the show notes. I'll just list out a heap that work for finance or marketing or workflow. But yeah, otherwise we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.